No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with a prospectacular podcast ahead. So many prospects getting promoted. Lots of positive news for the Rockies this week as we turn the calendar to the second half, the final 3 months of the season as we begin July. And it all starts with Yankiel Fernandez getting his promotion to the big leagues. He's been on the 40-man roster since the beginning of last year. He is officially recalled. And there was another move that the Rockies ended up making on Tuesday. Catcher Austin Nola had his contract selected. I phrase it that way because that's how you phrase it in terms of a guy who's not on the 40-man roster already. So Nola comes onto the 40-man roster. He gets activated. Braxton Fulford goes down to AAA. Warren Schaefer said on Tuesday pregame, and I expected this to be the reason, that Fulford needed to get some more playing time in AAA. Now, granted, he was going to have the situation he was going to have a week or so ago, just as it was now, where he wasn't going to be the primary catcher. So I think this just more than anything gives him a break that he probably needed after catching 38 consecutive innings. So I think it's more about that than him playing every day, because when he was called up in the first place and Jacob Stallings was let go, he wasn't playing very much. So he's done a good job. He's been really solid. Now you get an upgrade defensively with Austin Nola. Not exactly, I don't think. He's a big league catcher for sure defensively, but not a major upgrade, I would say. We also had righty Tanner Gordon coming off the 15-day IL. He gets optioned to AAA. And then, unfortunately, to create spot on that 40-man roster and the 26-man active roster, Sam Hilliard was designated for assignment on Tuesday. Now, Yankiel Fernandez has been a big prospect for the last couple years. I witnessed him in the Futures game back in 2023 in Seattle and had himself a cannon. I think there was one ball. He didn't get anybody out. It wasn't an outfield assist, but he fired a ball to third base that held somebody up that, you know, was registered rather fast. So he's got himself a really good arm, and it's good to see him getting an opportunity. Now that means Zach Veen is not getting an opportunity, and that's part of the logjam about having so many prospects. And as Bill Schmidt said, allowing the situation to figure itself out. But Yankiel Fernandez up, Hunter Goodman also not on the IL, which should be noted. That seemed like that was going to happen when the rumors started to spread on Monday. In fact, not even rumors. First, the rumors was Fernandez getting promoted. Then, okay, it was verified by some reputable sources. And then Thomas Harding adding Austin Nola. Zach Wheeler, or rather not Zach Wheeler, his brother, Aaron Nola, a different Phillies ace. But you had Aaron Nola getting his full pension with 10 years of service time. And then now his brother is getting the promotion. And we figured that this probably was because Goodman was going to go on the IL. Not the case. Goodman in the starting lineup, hitting second on Tuesday night. Now, does that mean he's 100%? No. Could that mean that, you know, he needs to kind of play on it to get a feeling for what's going to happen? And Goodman might immediately need an IL stint, and then Fulford can be brought back up under those circumstances. But the move on Tuesday, all about Yankiel Fernandez and getting him some playing time in the big. Still just 22 years old, real young kid that is not in the starting lineup on Tuesday, but he will start, according to manager Warren Schaefer. He will start against righties and right-handed starters. So you got Hunter Brown making the start on Wednesday, an American League Cy Young Award contender. Tough assignment for your first big league start. There's a lefty coming on Thursday, so probably no Yankiel Fernandez then. But looking ahead, the White Sox do have three right-handed starting pitchers coming up this weekend. So Fernandez, Rockies' number five prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. He's played well at AAA with an OPS just under 900, 284 batting average, 347 on base percentage, 502 slug across 64 games, 14 doubles, 13 homers. Had a big shot, had a monstrous blast on Sunday night for the Isotopes. Good to see that. And he's just played, you know, really solid. I think defensively, that's where he may have his most issues. Not so much the arm accuracy is where he needs to improve upon, but the strength is absolutely there. You saw him in spring training earlier this year where he went 8-for-31 in 15 games, got himself a home run. I think the last two spring trainings he's hit a home run in big league camp was a Rockies organizational all-star in 2022 and in 2023 when he was the Northwest League postseason all-star, or one of them, in the outfield. As I mentioned, he was in the futures game there at Safeco Field and looked really solid. So he's been really good throughout the minors. I think he even has a 100 RBI season in low A Fresno. So this has been a guy that has come on the scene quickly as a teenager, but then he's slowly each season, you know, shown that hit tool is still there. And so we'll see how many opportunities he does get with the team in the majors, getting starts, getting an opportunity to grow, seeing if he can start his own highlight reel. But Zach Veen, the promotion of Fernandez means Zach Veen not getting that call up just yet, despite the fact that he does have an active 8-game hitting streak following some great performances this past weekend. Since June 21st, 484 batting average. How about that? A slugging of 806. So he's over 1,300 in his OPS. So has done a nice job as of recent retooling some things after going down to Scottsdale, working on some mechanics in the lab. So he's been a lot better. He's actually been able to get his batting average up to 300. So an impressive feat for Zach Veen. And then Yankiel Fernandez, he's going to wear number 35. I think that's going to look great across his back. There's actually a picture that I wanted to pull up for the podcast. Totally forgot, but you can go give it some love on social media. Kevin Henry posting a photograph that has a lot going on in it. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that for just a second. But the number 35 and the Fernandez going across the back for a guy with a big back, a large young man, I think that's a good number. It was last worn by Nick Martini, but it was most prominently worn by Elias Diaz, the best number 35 in Rockies history, period. Fight me on that. Is it now? Number two on my list is Chad Bettis. And if you say it's Chad Bettis, you know what? I'm not going to fight you too much. That's okay. That's a good number two or a number one to have. And then you want to put Diaz as number two. Understandable. Number three, clear cut, John Vanderwall. Larry Walker's caddy. Growing up in the 90s, I loved John Vanderwall. Like, that was the guy because his name was weird. He used to be on the Expos. He would always come in to clean up after Larry Walker and be a defensive replacement. He also had some big games on his own. So I love John Vanderwall. And then the only other player in Rockies history to wear number 35 for multiple seasons was Taylor Buchholz, who was a part of the 2007 club, had a 13-11 record over four seasons with the Rockies, a 3.0 BWAR. So, all right, and number 35, sneaky good, sneaky good. Taylor in the chat saying, not sure why Farmer is DHing Tuesday night. Yankiel isn't in the lineup. Must have jumped in late. Yankiel Fernandez, left-handed hitting power bat. We have a lefty starter on the mound for the Astros. So Schaefer trying to set his guy up for success. Could end up seeing him late in the game on Tuesday in a pinch hit role. Then maybe he stays in the game. We'll see, but expect him to get his first start on Wednesday against righty Hunter Brown. I don't understand this comment. Star Spangled Banner with the plan. Okay, thank you. That might be a bot of some sort. But Promotion Spectacular continues from there, because the other bit of news that we got over the weekend was Charlie Condon getting promoted to Double A Hartford. I predicted it was going to be after the Futures game, but I did get something right in regards to the Futures game. Condon in the starting lineup for the Yard Goats Tuesday night. Good to see that. His numbers at High A Spokane are really good. They're really good. 22.6 strikeout percentage, 13.2 walk percentage, 317 batting average, 129 WRC plus. That's something that I don't believe Baseball Reference has on their pages for the minor leaguers, but they do have it over on FanGraphs. He was the designated hitter on Sunday, but his last game in the field for Spokane was on Saturday at third base. He did make a throwing error in that contest. He also played third base on last Thursday, his first at the hot corner this entire season, and he also made a fielding error there. So he's got a couple third bases on his page saying that, you know, he has played it. So he's keeping that tool. I wouldn't say sharp, but it's still there. It's still in his bag. I don't think we're going to see Charlie Condon really playing much, if any, third base. It could be a situation with Hunter Goodman, where his bat was ready, so they promoted him, and he got those opportunities at higher levels and in the majors, and then it became, okay, let's backfill and get you back to playing behind the plate as a catcher. That could end up being the same thing for Charlie Condon, where he does possibly go back to a third base after, you know, he makes his debut next year. We still have a ways to go, but it does seem very possible that sometime next summer, Charlie Condon could make that major league debut, but you do have Kyle Karras already over at third base. So we'll see what happens with that. Right now, I would say Charlie Condon, first baseman, corner, outfielder. The bat is progressing. I will say that for Charlie Condon. The power, not as much. And I think that's understandable. I think a lot of people need to be patient with his power because of the wrist fracture that he had that cost him so much time. There's an interesting stat worth taking a look at that doesn't get talked about much because it's really just a tool. It's just a certain element that is interesting to look at, especially as a player gets older and their power advances. It's called ISO, I-S-O, and it stands for isolated power. And it measures the raw power of a hitter because it only takes into consideration extra base hits and the type of extra base hits. So you calculate it pretty easily. It's slugging percentage minus batting average. And so here's how it would work. And an example, player A, player B, to give you, again, somewhat of an idea about how ISO works. Player A goes 1-for-5 with a double. 1-for-5 means he's batting 200, and his slugging percentage is 400. We calculate that by taking the total number of bases, which would be 2 for that double, and we divide it by the 5 at-bats, not plate appearances. Plate appearances is different. It's an at-bat. So 2 divided by 5 is 40%, or 400. So you take the 400 slug, you subtract the 200 batting average, and that's a 200 ISO. Now, player B goes 2-for-5 with a single and a double. His batting average is 400, slugging 600, but 600 slug minus 400 batting average gives you the same 200 isolated power. Both players have the same amount of isolated power. Right? They both hit one double. That's the only thing that it's looking at. Player A has the player B has the higher batting average than player A, but they have the same isolated power. So again, it's just an interesting tool. It's not park adjusted. That's another piece. So Charlie Condon, 112 ISO. Who led the Rockies last year in the minors in isolated power? It was Hunter Goodman in his 121 at-bats, 322 ISO. So that's pretty elite. He had 8 homers, 1 triple, 13 doubles, or basically 1 out of every 6 at-bats resulted in an extra base hit. Think about that. an extra base, not just a hit, an extra base hit. So when you look at the leaders in ISO for the Rockies organization, you're mostly going to see players from AAA. In other words, more mature players who have power that is already developed, and they're essentially big leaguers. Maybe they're quadruple A players, but they're big leaguers. They're not guys who reached AAA but never got to the majors because they were barely AAA players. If you look at who led Major League Baseball last year in ISO, it's Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, and then Juan Soto, Anthony Santander, Brent Rooker, Ketel Marte. So it's similar to slug, but again, it focuses more on the raw power, the more of the triples and home run variety than the double variety, because we know with Coors Field, singles can be doubles very easily. And in 2025, a good example of identifying isolated power, or rather someone who isn't hitting for a ton of power, you can look at someone like Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman is 17th in slugging percentage this season at .509, but he's batting .312. So his batting average is quite high. His slugging, really good, but it's .509. So his ISO is under 200. Slugging percentage, he ranks 17th in baseball. In ISO, only 46th. And why is that? Because he's got 21 doubles. 10 home runs, which are fine, but 10 home runs. There are 77 players in baseball that have more than 10 home runs. So 10 is a nice number, and I'll get to his 20, which he almost always gets, but it's not that 30, 35, 40 homer power you typically see from a first baseman. So those 21 doubles that he had at the end of the weekend, sixth most in Major League Baseball. But again, those are only worth two bases. So it's one of those things to monitor, that power. And I don't know that we're going to see all that kind of power from Charlie Condon this season, and that's absolutely okay. Jared Thomas is also Hartford bound. He's no longer playing first base. He's strictly an outfielder, so he's not even getting in at first base twice like Charlie Condon did. So he's in the outfield, .330 batting average at high A Spokane. That was tops in the Northwest League, 23.1 strikeout percent. So similar to what Condon was doing. WRC plus of 144, better than Condon. His 45 RBI is fifth in the Northwest League. Not bad for a leadoff hitter. 922 OPS is tied for fourth. This guy does feel like we're looking at Charlie Blackmon 2.0. He's a center fielder who bats left-handed, throws left-handed, was born in Texas. Charlie Blackmon was born in Texas and was drafted in the second round. Charlie Blackmon 2.0, Jared Thomas, we'll see. What did Kyle Karros do? You're probably curious, comparing, looking at ISO. What did Kyle Karros do in 2024 as the Northwest League MVP? Well, his ISO was 174, so higher than both Condon and Thomas. His walk percentage was 10%. And his strikeout was 22.8, so right where Condon and Thomas were at. So it's pretty good. You look at the starting lineup for the Yard Goats on Tuesday night, and you got to say, wow, 1-4, pretty darn exciting and enticing. Cole Carrig, Kyle Karros, Jared Thomas, and Charlie Condon. 1-5, 1-4. That's pretty darn good. And he had Sean Manaea making his rehab start for the Mets, so good first battle there. Now, the futures game roster was announced. My prediction was that it was going to be Condon, Thomas, and Karros. We're only getting one, but we're getting Charlie Condon, who returns to Georgia, where he went to school in Athens and was a Bulldog at the University of Georgia. Was one of the best, actually, no, he was the best player in college baseball in 2024 as he won the Golden Spikes Award. If you don't know, futures game, I don't think it's lost its luster. It's still crazy exciting. But now that you've got spring breakout, it does change things a little bit. But it's nice that the future game still exists, and you still have these players getting put on a much more national scene. There's 50 players that have been named to the team. So a much smaller roster, I think, than in years past. 42 of those players already participated in the spring breakout. So as I'm sort of thinking this out loud in my head, and the voices in my head are very loud, it's spring breakout is nice for fans of that particular team. I know a lot of Rockies fans, you know, aren't necessarily paying attention to who's playing in the spring breakout games for the other teams, even in the NL West. And that's fine. I mean, again, there's only so much content you can consume. But spring breakout is now, or rather, futures game is now all about the best players. And now you can focus on that one singular game because all of those names have a lot of value. And they brought in some good coaching staffs, in Atlanta with some notable names. The AL squad has the two former Rockies, not the NL squad. So the AL squad's got Marquise Grissom as the manager, Johnny Estrada as the bullpen coach, Marvin Freeman, former Rocky, the first Rocky to ever receive a Cy Young Award, a vote for his work in 1994. Marvin Freeman, he's going to be the pitching coach. Brian Hunter, third base coach. Not that Brian Hunter. The other Brian Hunter played for the Rockies. Ryan Klesko, coach. Jerry Manuel, bench coach. Fred McGriff, hitting coach. And Dale Murphy, former Rocky in 1993, it counts, is going to be the first base coach in the NL. Chipper Jones is the manager. Mark DeRosa is the bench coach. Tim Hudson is the pitching coach. Andrew Jones, hitting coach. Nick Markakis, Peter Moylan also on that coaching staff. So Peter Moylan, excuse me. That's great. That's one of the fun things about the coaching staff. Unfortunately, you did not get an all Rocky staff back in 2021. That would have been a bummer. That was a bummer. That would have been great for that to happen. There was a couple former Rockies that were there. I think LaTroy Hawkins was one of them. Jamie Carroll, I know, was there for the futures games. It was cool getting a chance to meet him for the first time as he came before my era. So futures game is fun stuff. Some other Rockies news and notes for prospects. Brody Brecht on the comeback trail. He went on the IL May 13th with low A Fresno. He did make two rehab assignments at Arizona Complex League as part of that rehab assignment. So he is on the comeback trail, an early round pick from the University of Iowa last year. Joe Rock, you may have seen. You might remember that name. You might be pulling your hair out right now. He hasn't done much yet. So look, until that actually comes to fruition, perhaps the Rockies have dodged a bullet, but Joe Rock made his debut over the weekend for the Tampa Bay Rays. He was traded straight up for Greg Jones just a year ago, the beginning of last year at spring training. Jones played a few games with Colorado last year, got one hit. It was a homer, and then was dumped in spring training before the start of this year's season. And he is now on his second franchise already this season. So, or rather three franchises. He's changed teams twice. So Rock is a lanky left-hander, which the fact that he was selected in the second round in 2021 at the University of Ohio, a tall lefty who had pretty good numbers in Double A in 2023, 108 strikeouts and 90 innings as a starter. It really made no sense at the time why they would have done this one for one deal. It looks like it makes even less sense right now, but Joe Rock has looked about the same with the Durham Bulls in AAA for the Tampa Bay Rays the last 2 years. So kind of identical seasons. He did make his debut during an 11-3 win by Tampa on Saturday over the Baltimore Orioles. First base hit he gives up as a big leaguer, none other than Jackson Holliday, the son of Matt Holliday, former Colorado Rocky. Rock ended up giving up two runs on a Ramon Laureano homer. He did come back to strike out Holliday for the final out of the game. So good for Joe Rock. Other interesting debuts around the league. I want to touch on a couple of these guys because I find it interesting. Again, the future of the game, keeping an eye on the prospects and keeping an eye on young players who've debuted. I've already talked about Chase Burns, the second overall pick last season. But what I did not realize was that he was born in Italy. Did not know that. He's one of two Italian-born players, along with Sam Aldegheri of the Angels, who debuted last year. One of two in the game right now, one of only nine players in the history of the majors to have ever been born in Italy. That's cool. Didier Fuentes from Colombia is one of a scant few Colombians playing the game. He signed as a 16-year-old right-handed starter in 2022. So do the math. Yeah, he just debuted for Atlanta. He's made two starts at 20 years old. He's not a top 100 prospect either, which I find to be pretty interesting. MLB Pipeline has Fuentes as the 10th best prospect in Atlanta's system, but he started this year at High A, made three starts there, five in double A, and then only made one at triple A before Atlanta decided he was ready, or really decided, we got to call somebody up. Everybody's hurt on our team. Let's give the 20-year-old an opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses going forward. First two starts, not great, 10.80 ERA. His baseball reference page has already been updated with his nickname. It's Silent Assassin. How about that? Well, Houston's in town in Denver this week, and Cam Smith, I have to talk about him. He definitely deserves some mention. Great trade for Houston, and a great reminder why being proactive is always better than being reactive. And we know how reactive the Rockies have been after they should have done the thing. But Houston knows they can't hold on to Kyle Tucker. He's going to be a free agent after this year. And even if you hold on to him and give him a qualifying offer, you get a compensation pick. That's it. And that compensation pick is not going to make an impact on the big league roster for a few years. So what do? They trade Tucker for big league assets that keeps their current window of contention open that much longer. Cam Smith, Isak Paredes, and Hayden Wisniewski. As I said with the Rockies trade deadline primer that you would have listened to yesterday, you got to get big league assets and get more years of control. Get rid of those expiring contracts, whether they expire now, this year, or if they're expiring next year, or if they're expiring before you know you're going to get good. And the Rockies doesn't seem like they're going to get good for about at least another 3 years at this point. And maybe if in 3 years, that means, well, that's 2028. 2028 might even only be that they're good in the second half of 2028.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
So, 2028 season, do you need a guy around for 2028 if you're still not going to be in contention that year? So, you can define expiring in a lot of different ways. But what Houston did was they traded 1 year for Tucker, for 2 years of Paredes, five of Wisniewski, and 6 years of Cam Smith, who was drafted last year 14th overall out of Florida State University. How about that? He was actually the first player to debut from last year's draft class, was on the opening day roster, played in only 24 games in the minors last year, and he's been solid so far this year, just under 2.5 wins above replacement. He's playing right field now, like I mentioned earlier, with Hunter Goodman, whose bat progressed faster than his glove did. So Smith is in right field. He eventually might move back to third base when Paredes moves on. Could go end up over at first base. We'll kind of wait and see what happened, but his bat was ready, so they found a spot for him to play. Just like the Athletics found a spot for Willie McIver. There's another former Rocky that maybe is upsetting some Rockies fans, saying this guy should be debuting for the Rockies, and he certainly deserved to do it. Willie McIver is a player who was selected in the 9th round of the 2018 MLB draft at the University of Washington. And the good news for him, not only that he debuted with the Athletics, got to fulfill his dreams, make them come true, but he hit his first home run on June 19th, which was awesome. And he's above zero in the wins above replacement category. So you like that. It's only, 15 games for the 28-year-old, but that's certainly a positive. He's always been a dog. He's loved by everyone that meets him. He is such a great supporter of all the pitchers that he works with. So Willie McIver, wishing him nothing but the best. And look, him going to the A's was because he wasn't going to get an opportunity, and he wasn't getting an opportunity with the Rockies. He was really solid in 2024 with the Isotopes. The bat really started to catch up, where it had really, left a lot of people, thinking that it lacked. And yet he was able to do it offensively last year. And what happened? A first round pick in Drew Romo kind of usurped him a little bit. And you know what? It feels like it should matter that Romo was a first round pick and McIver was a ninth round pick, but it does in baseball. That's just how baseball operates. And more times than not, that first round pick who seems less deserving, they're the ones that have the better career than the ninth round pick. Who's more deserving in that moment in time? We'll see going forward. Certainly the promotion of Austin Nola and selecting his contract, putting him on the big league roster and not promoting Drew Romo might suggest, well, Willie McIver might actually have the longer big league career than Drew Romo. Maybe, but more times than not, the first round pick will have a longer career than the ninth round pick. So it's about the track record. It's about projectability, not so much what you've done for the right here, right now. Speaking of the A's, I do want to talk about Luis Severino, who blasted the conditions at the A's temporary home in West Sacramento at Sutter Health Park. He just said that the atmosphere and the stadium feels like spring training. It certainly looks like it on broadcast, similar to Tampa, because, well, Tampa literally is a spring training facility. He even doubled down with media the next day, saying he couldn't wait for the A's to trade him and that, he's going to get traded. I think we know that. And I think Severino should have known what he was getting into. It did seem interesting that, not only that the A's were forking over that kind of money to bring in a pitcher of Severino's abilities, they paid him well. 3 years, $67 million is going to do that. But the fact that Severino was putting himself in a AAA ballpark to play for the next 3 years and wouldn't even see Las Vegas, okay, take the bag. Now he wants the bag and he wants to get traded. It may end up happening. We'll see. It should be interesting to note that his ERA is almost 3.5 runs better on the road than at the minor league ballpark that he calls his home. 6.79 ERA in West Sacramento, 3.23 on the road. Las Vegas is coming together. It very much was a situation where even though the dominoes had been falling, there was a big heavy one at the end that until that big one falls, you don't know what's going to happen. How many times did we say that, oh, Tampa Bay, they got their situation fixed, we're good to go, when there were still more hurdles that need to be cleared? The A's cleared a big hurdle. They had a groundbreaking ceremony last week in Las Vegas, and Manfred was there, spoke with the local media, and said, we're glad that we'll have a team here in 2028. So that is now going to happen. Until it did, I thought maybe Sacramento could be players. Maybe the A's end up going to Salt Lake City because they want a franchise. Now A's are going to be settled. We'll figure out the Rays in just a little bit. Some other final Colorado connections. Maverick Handley, catcher who's currently on the Orioles concussion protocol for that collision with Jazz Chisholm. I don't know if you saw that, where Handley was pretty much coming up the line. Jazz tried to get out of his way, did, but clipped him ever so slightly. He is a graduate of Mullen High School in Denver, so we wish him nothing but the best for his recovery. Born and raised in Denver, attended Stanford University. I mentioned Jack Winkler when the Rockies were in Miami at the beginning of last month. Also discussed Christian Koss of the Giants, who was drafted by and debuted with Colorado at Grand Junction in 2019 before being dealt to Boston ahead of the 2021 campaign. Last little bit for you guys to keep an eye out for. The Isotopes are going to be on ESPN Wednesday at noon as they take on the El Paso Chihuahuas. ESPN is doing their 50 states in 50 days. And for New Mexico, it's the Albuquerque Isotopes, which is pretty cool. And I think that does mean The Isotopes are going to be on ESPN more times than the Rockies. Kind of not great, but you should also keep an eye out for Clayton Kershaw as he goes for 3,000 strikeouts, needs three more to reach that milestone on Wednesday at home against the White Sox. Give me Michael A. Taylor as the guy that we're going to see in Clayton Kershaw's Hall of Fame highlight reel as Mr. Number 3,000. I think there's a lot of Mr. Number 3,000s, like the guy who gives up that hit. Come to think of it, okay, I was there to see Ichiro get his 3,000th hit. Probably a lot of you were. If you were, give me your memories, either in DMs or just straight up on social media, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. But for the life of me, I can't think who gave up that hit. I don't know. I know when Miguel Cabrera got his 3,000th against the Rockies, it was Antonio Senzatella. But now for the life of me, I couldn't tell you who Ichiro got hit number 3,000 against. Was it a righty? I don't know. I can't think. I'm going to say it was Chris Russon. I don't remember, but that's my guess. Let me know on social media. Also, let me know on a comment for this video, which you can absolutely do, Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Appreciate you dropping by. But the momentum you've provided me today, unfortunately, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.